Our God is with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked in the room where the disciples were for fear of the temple authorities. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Having said this, the Savior showed them the marks of crucifixion. The disciples were filled with joy, and when they saw Jesus, who said to them again, "Peace be with you. As Abba God sent me, so I am sending you." After saying this, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained." The good news. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. What a character St. Luke must have been. He's the author of our first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, which Tim did so beautifully. I keep thinking of Luke as a big old stereotypical, flashy, emotional gay guy. One who just loses it over a tearjerker movie or a spectacular Broadway show with glorious music and fabulous dancing and amazing costuming and lighting. I think of him over the top with excitement and talking with his hands. Oops. You know how some people just can't seem to talk without wildly gesticulating. Now, why do I think that about Luke? For one thing, he's a dramatic and captivating storyteller, as you just heard in his powerful description of the day of Pentecost. And he's a big-time exaggerator. The community of believers, he told us, was of one heart and one mind. No one ever claimed anything as his own. Rather, everything was held in common. There was not a single person needy among them. Wow, what a great community. Sign me up now. Luke, whether he was gay or not, obviously felt things deeply. His stories reveal his huge heart. His gospel is the only one that includes the heartwarming parable of the prodigal son, what one Bible scholar calls the central parable of the entire New Testament. It, more than any other story, tugs at the heart to introduce us to the God we call love. The wildly generous parent to whom our most horrendous mistakes just don't matter. We are loved anyway. Perhaps the best adjective we can use to describe Luke is enthusiastic. A word with Latin and Greek roots that literally mean filled with God. Inspired, possessed, in ecstasy. He was filled with the excitement and joy of the good news. In some wonderful and mysterious way, he had encountered Jesus, the one that he knew had died, but whom he had experienced somehow as alive. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Risen One, had ignited Luke's imagination, and he would never be the same again. I like to think of the Holy Spirit as divine energy, the creative force that has been swirling through the universe since the Big Bang. If the divine Father Mother is creator and the Christ is divine embodiment, then the Spirit is divine energy. Creativity, embodiment, energy. That's one way to think about the Trinity. Next week, I'm sure Anne Marie will give us others. It's Trinity Sunday next Sunday. And Luke was emotionally caught up in all of that. The last time I preached on Pentecost Sunday for this community was 10 years ago. In what I said back then, I used the work of the brilliant, now deceased, gay theologian and psychotherapist, John McNeil, who wrote about what he called the Church of the Holy Spirit. He said that Jesus' departure from us, his disciples, made it necessary that we stop depending so much on some external authority and trust in and listen to the Spirit for our growth in the faith. Hear what the Spirit is saying. We often say that at the end of our readings. The Church of the Holy Spirit is that more mature church that believes in itself and knows the power of the Spirit that is within us. The Holy Spirit is that inner authority that leads us to truth. Jesus, our most important external authority, is no longer around in the flesh, but he left us the Spirit, a helper to guide our consciences. McNeil says we need a new Pentecost, a new openness to this Holy Spirit. It's hard to argue with that. The world is in a mess. It needs a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, of knowledge and reverence for God, the traditional gifts of the Holy Spirit that we hear from the prophet Isaiah. A spirit that guides us in the ways of peace. A spirit that could make Russians and Ukrainians lay down their weapons. That could enable Jews and Palestinians to recognize each other's dignity as images of the divine. That calls us to break down every barrier that obscures our universal oneness. A new Pentecost. That's the only real hope for the world. Pentecost comes from the Greek and Latin root of the word 50. Jewish culture celebrated the harvest festival 50 days after the second day of Passover. It was on this day, Pentecost, Luke tells us in the Acts of the Apostles, that the disciples became filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to make bold proclamations which everybody, regardless of language, could understand. What a story! More high drama from Luke. The believers were more energized, more alive than ever before, so much so that people thought they were drunk. At 9 o'clock in the morning, the story says. We traditionally see this new infusion of life as the birthday of Christianity. Now, the scriptures actually give us two versions of this birthing, this infusion of divine energy. Luke, in his typical enthusiasm, tells us the more popular story featuring a violent rushing wind and tongues of fire on that 50th day after Passover. But John, in today's gospel, has his own Pentecost story. It's different. Not 50 days later, but on the evening of that first day of the week, late on Resurrection Day itself, the risen Christ breathed on his followers. Breath and wind are translations of the Hebrew and Greek words commonly rendered spirit. Right away, on that same day, he gave the breath of the spirit of life like spiritual CPR and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Why wait 7 weeks? Receive now. Receive and be emboldened now. Receive and share the good news now. Receive and let go of your dependency on external religious authority now and live as people who have the Spirit within them. A spirit of truth and wisdom and love and energy and life. Receive. Have a new Pentecost now. Many Christians refer to Holy Communion as something they take. Take and eat, Jesus said. So most Protestants take communion while Catholics receive it. Now, I don't mean to imply that the choice of the verb take suggests a lack of reverence at communion time, but there is something really sweet and humble about receiving. The risen one does not say, take the Holy Spirit. The command is receive. Consciously acknowledge the gift and welcome it into your heart. Don't just get breathed on. Suck that Spirit in. Accept it. Receive. Big events like weddings usually include a receiving line, where honored guests are welcomed, embraced, shown respect. Our sacramental receiving line for the Holy Spirit is baptism and confirmation. And that's beautiful. But God's people tend to forget who they are as receivers of the Spirit. We forget our Pentecost, and it's not enough just to dedicate one Sunday a year to remind ourselves of it. It's always time for a new Pentecost, always. We are not always conscious of the power of this divine gift, and we need to mindfully receive again and again. The new Pentecost, which John McNeil hoped for, is a renewal where we are breathed on once again and energized, as Luke was, to do truly great things. I'd like to suggest that there are new Pentecosts all the time. Any encounter with the divine is a dose of the Holy Spirit. And the signs that we are on holy ground are hard to miss. Those signs are called the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Some of us memorized the fruits of the Spirit as children in catechism and impressed our teachers by rattling off the standard list that comes from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you experience them, it's yet another new Pentecost. You are, in a sense, breathed on and invited to receive the Holy Spirit again. The risen Christ, in John's account, brought all those virtues with him through the locked doors, past all the fear and confusion, and established peace. That's Pentecost. Peace be with you, the resurrected one said in John's story. It's the first thing he says. And it's probably the sign of peace that was most needed at the time. Peace. He had found the disciples in a state that was anything but peaceful, cowering in fear, sure that they were candidates for the same treatment Jesus got. The whole world seems like that sometimes, doesn't it? Trapped in terror, conflicted, depressed, and in desperate need of the Spirit. Most of us probably remember our dear friend Dominic, Leah's husband. He died several years ago. I remember that he once shared something with us that was particularly moving. He spoke of how he had returned from the war in Vietnam in the late 60s and was so wounded in spirit, so angry, that he wanted nothing to do with religion at all. His was a God that allowed the stupid brutality that he observed. And that was just too much. But all that changed. Dominic had a new Pentecost when he took on a job helping the developmentally disabled, especially children. I have a younger brother who is developmentally disabled, so I truly loved it when Dominic shared that it was in that very meaningful work that the fruits of the Spirit became manifest to him again in the sweetness and goodness and the good-heartedness of those folks, that he found in them love, joy, peace, patience. The risen one breathed on Dominic, and he received. Sweet little girl in the show that I'm currently in at the Playhouse, after a performance one night, out of the blue, just asked me if I would like a hug. I would love a hug, I told her. And she gave me a dose of divine energy. A little new Pentecost to breathe life into a tired old actor. It gave me such joy. She and Dominic and so many others make me think of the unmistakable divine energy that fills this space every Sunday, at every Sunday liturgy, especially at our very chaotic sign of peace. When we all want to embrace everyone in sight, when we all turn into crazy St. Luke and get drunk on the Spirit, as our ancestors in the faith did. May that holy energy spread beyond these walls to a world that desperately needs new life. And God's people say, Amen. Your thoughts?